Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. There's a reason your mobile service isn't free. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is October 19th, 2013. We're on day two of our technology article, No Rest for the Wireless. You can find it on pages 30 and 31 in your Advanced magazine. I'm glad you're here today. Joining us, this is a very interesting article that studies the background of wireless. The world that we live in today is wireless. Everybody's carrying around smartphones or tablets or some type of wireless device that has become attached permanently to their hands, and they can't survive without them. But the background information is, well, the device is just one part of this play that's going on. The network is a big part of this and explains why things might be slow or fast, and that's what we're talking about here in this article. My two panelists, Rebecca Krushneski and Nathaniel Dunn, are back for day two. Hello, panelists.
Hello.
Hello.
Great to have you back. So first, before we get into our reading for today, let me get a thought from you, each one of you, from yesterday.
Well, I love this title so much, I want to talk about it again. No Rest for the Wireless is a play on the phrase, no rest for the weary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're tired, you don't get a break. But it's also really great for this article. We think of people that use wireless devices and just keeps them going all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also actually about wireless companies that provide those services. They have to keep upgrading their services for us.
You know, what's funny is that I can't recall us doing an article on the service providers, the wireless service providers here in Advanced, or at least not one specifically focusing on them. We've always talked about the gadgets. We've talked about
the users,
the Apples, the HTCs, the Samsungs, their devices, and how slick and cool they are.
Mm.
This is the first time we've really addressed this back-end thing. All right, what about the network? So, okay, now also let me get a thought from Rebecca.
Yeah, I liked the analogy we had yesterday about the highway. And basically the thought was, no matter how good your car is, if the highway is not up to par or is not quite as good as it should be, you cannot use all the features of your car. And just like with smartphones, you can have all the good features you want, but if you don't have a good highway to travel on, it's very, very difficult.
It's like trying to speed around in your Ferrari on a dirt road up in the mountains, right?
Exactly.
There's only so fast you can go.
Yes.
Or else you're going to go off the cliff. You
yes.
don't want to do that with your Ferrari.
You're stuck a lot. So
yeah.
Your ride is definitely has lots of hitches.
Yeah. Now, in the beginning, I also had said here at the top of the program, there's a reason why your mobile service isn't free, because some people – you know, they kind of complain, oh, I've got to pay so much for my to my telephone company for this mobile service, right? But there's a reason for it, right?
Oh, there definitely is a reason. We'll find out more as we read along today's article.
Yeah. So these companies have to spend a lot of money to keep their networks up to speed to handle all of this. And this is never ending. It's going to keep going this way, because the more capable devices become, the more demanding it is for the networks, and also content providers. It's kind of funny. That's the third part in all of this, is the content providers see almost like networks and technology as limitless. And so we end up with content that is ever expanding. And just to give you an example, on YouTube, Now, I've noticed with videos, video files, there used to be a certain limitation on how big your video files could be.
For uploading.
Yeah, uploading. And it's just has expanded now to where people are like putting these huge video files on, because they got HD and there's all sorts of other things. It takes forever sometimes for some of these videos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to load.
Yeah. And then you click it on to watch and you get like 2 seconds, then it stops.
Yeah. And that's exactly the problem we're talking about here. Yeah. It's because on the back end, like in the internet connection, you don't have enough speed to go on. So you can't watch that video.
Right, right. And it's funny, is a lot of times is, I don't know about you guys, but if I want to watch a video, it'll show up, and then I get this start-stop thing, and after about three times, I just abandon it.
Yeah, forget about it.
I give up. I forget it.
Your internet connection is too slow.
Yeah. Okay, listeners, let's take today's reading and split it up into the two sections. So we'll have our first section, Looking to the Future.
Looking to the future. These are things that weren't on anybody's radar 5 years ago, but today they are, said Jeff Kagan, a telecommunications analyst. People are using the web not only to read words, but to watch clips, to watch live television, watch recorded television, watch movies. The next question is, if that's what we've done in the last 5 years, what will we do in the next 5 years? Companies can take a variety of steps to enhance their networks. Cable companies use technology to widen their broadband networks, similar to adding lanes on a highway, to allow more information to pass through. For wireless networks, companies can build cell towers or upgrade current ones. Small cells, similar to miniature cell towers that wireless companies can attach to things such as light poles or buildings, are another option to boost mobile coverage.
Okay, looking to the future. And, we get a comment from Jeff Kagan, a telecommunications analyst.
That's right. Telecommunications is really just communications through various platforms, computer, telephone, radio, television, all of those things are included. And he says here that these are things that weren't on anybody's radar 5 years ago, but today they are.
Okay. Now, what do we mean about this not on somebody's radar?
Yeah, like for example, when I think of radar, I might think of being on a ship, and the ship's radar will show you everything that is in its way, like maybe like icebergs or objects in the sea that you can't see with your physical eye. And when we say something that is not on the radar, that means you haven't seen it yet. It might be there, just like an iceberg is there, but you just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, so something is not on your radar. You weren't really even expecting it. It wasn't something that you were even thinking about. So we take a term that's used in marine and nautical field or aviation where they have to use radar. They can't see things. There's a limitation of what they can see with their eyes. So they have to use radar. And likewise, we also need to use radar to try and predict, well, what is going to happen in our future, whether it's, whatever field you're in, you have to kind of predict the future and see what's on your radar. So, and this is in the telecommunications industry. It has changed so much so quickly. If you didn't know this was coming, don't worry. You're not alone. Even
That's
experts.
Very true.
Yeah.
Even experts, they don't have much idea about what's going to happen in 5 years because things are changing so fast in technology fields that it's very, very difficult to look into the crystal ball and predict what's going to happen next.
All right. Jeff Kagan continues in line 19.
Yeah, he says people are using the web not only to read words, but to watch clips, watch live television, watch recorded television, and watch movies. I think a lot of people that I know use all of these functions. Each individual uses all of these functions, actually.
Yeah. Now, and we're talking about using the web, it says here, not only to read words, because what that means right there is when it first came out, when the internet became accessible to people, I would say 15 years ago, the main function was email.
Yes.
That was the number one thing. You've got mail. And maybe to read some news stories. That was what it was. And that was just, it's almost infancy. I mean, that when you think back of that.
It's usage. Actually amazing how fast the internet has progressed. Like when you think of what you look at when you're on the internet these days, you probably don't read very much. Mm-hmm. Or as not as much as before. You probably spend a lot of time watching videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually a very interesting change.
Right. So this is what people are watching on the web, and it has migrated from their desktop computer, which is what people were doing 10, 15 years ago using the internet for, then to all of these mobile devices. So, you know, people are watching all of these videos and things like that on mobile devices. So the next question is,
if that's what we've done in the last 5 years, what will we do in the next 5 years? What other changes are ahead of us? Yesterday, we actually talked about the amount of data that people use in their, you know, for their wireless plans. That has grown 66% a year, is going to grow 66% a year for the next 5 years. So, yeah, we'll see just how far that takes us.
You know what? I'm going to ask you something, Rebecca. Just in the last year or two, mm-hmm. and you're very much attuned to the studio classroom as far as our Facebook page and our web page, mm-hmm. and also Line, which has really become popular in the last 6 months. What changes just in the last year or two have you observed in usage?
That is actually a very good question. I think we continue to move towards smaller bite-sized segments, and that's a very big change. Like, people just don't want to sit down and look at a big paragraph anymore.
Right.
You know, like, they don't have the patience for it. So, for example, on Studio Classroom's Line, we really break it down to bite-sized elements, things that will only take 1 minute. Like, we'll give you an English tip or an English lesson in just 1 minute because that's what people want.
Okay.
And another thing we've noticed is the shift toward multimedia, especially video. Yeah, online, like, people spend so much time watching video. I don't have the stats on YouTube, but people these days are not reading your web pages. They're watching a lot of video.
Right.
They're spending a lot of time on social media looking at photos. Like on Facebook, for example, most of the time when I'm on Facebook, I don't spend a lot of time reading people's updates.
Right.
You're scrolling quickly through the newsfeed,
yeah.
looking at people's photo and hitting like,
yeah.
or comment, comment,
yeah.
comment. So the shift is toward smaller bite-sized elements, and especially photos and video.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's something we're also very aware of as Studio Classroom. That's why we try to come out with new content, especially in multimedia, that we think will be engaging. And at the same time, you can still learn just as you did before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, let's do this. Moving to the next paragraph, we see here as far as now dealing with all of this demand on the networks, the videos, the movies, and the things like that, it's a heavy burden for the networks. And so now we mentioned some of the companies before, AT&T Mobility, Verizon Wireless, Comcast, and Cox Communications. That's what we're talking about here. Those companies, they can take a variety of steps to enhance or improve their networks. And we continue.
Right. Cable companies use technology to widen their broadband networks as well, which is similar to adding lanes on a highway. Broadband networks do not use telephone lines, but they're a fast internet connection. You can look at that there in your vocabulary focus.
Okay, because we hear this term broadband all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just funny, again, going back to the introduction of the internet 10 or 15 years ago, at that time they had used telephone lines.
Yes.
And it was so slow, it was limited. It was like driving down an alleyway.
Yes.
So on a bicycle. And so you would click on an email and it would just take 30 seconds for this email just text
to show
to
up.
Show up.
Yes.
So let alone a video, forget it.
Yes.
Forget it if you had a video. So now we've got broadband networks, and they use a variety of technology like fiber optic cables to actually transmit their data. So the cable companies have to widen their broadband networks, widen their highways, so you can drive your Ferrari fast smartphone faster out on that highway. So that's what this is talking about, to allow more information to pass through. And how do they do that? Well, we find out in that next sentence.
Yeah, for wireless networks, companies can build cell towers or upgrade current ones. So the first thing that companies can do is they can build more cell towers, because with more cell towers, your Wi-Fi transmissions will go faster. So we were talking about why is our phone bill so expensive? Well, the truth is these telecom companies have to pay up a lot of upfront costs to invest in these cell phone towers, to build these cell phone towers. Some of these cell phone towers might be in really remote places, like high up in the mountains, or, you know, or places that are difficult to reach.
Right.
So the telecom companies are actually spending a lot of money and hardware building these cell towers and other things. So that's why they pass these costs to the consumer. So you might see your cell phone bill actually go up.
As a matter of fact, when I was very little, I lived in Illinois. And even today, I know people in that area, very country area in Illinois, they cannot get good service in some spots just because there are no towers.
Yes.
And the companies have not judged that it is lucrative enough. It's not worth enough for them to put more towers in that area, so they just don't do it.
Of course, they're going to base that decision upon the number of users.
Right. Yeah. There's not many, not there.
Okay, so they're not going to do it if there's not enough users. So, all right, but yeah, building these towers, paying the people to work for them, a cost. The cable and all that stuff, all of the other equipment that goes into it, that is why mobile service is not free. That's why it's not necessarily cheap either, because this is a constant upgrading process where they have to keep making improvements. So we talked about towers and things like that, networks. Now we see this other term, small cells.
Yeah, and they're like miniature cell towers, small ones, small versions of those towers. And these can be attached to things like light poles or to buildings. They're another option to boost mobile coverage. That's an interesting idea to me. I guess I had seen these type of things on top of buildings. The light poles, that's surprising to me, though. I don't think I've noticed that before.
Mm. Yeah, that is surprising. It's a very focused area then.
Mm-hmm.
These small cells would actually just focus on maybe a couple of blocks in a city. So, and that would improve the coverage. Now, what's that mean to you? For instance, if they don't have these small cells on light poles or buildings, well, again, you might be sitting in a city, sitting there at Starbucks, and you're trying to watch a video. But again, if the coverage, if that equipment's not there to support that network, even though you're in a city, it's not going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be slow. There's going to be stops. Or even, do you ever click on, you know, you're on the internet, you're sitting in a restaurant or something, and you click on a site, and it just, the thing keeps going round and round, says loading, 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 but it never like appears.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're talking about here, because there's a gap in the network. And that's where a small cell could come in.
Yeah, and the small cells also come in the fact that a lot of cities are moving to providing Wi-Fi everywhere around the city, whether it's like San Francisco or even in Asia, in Taipei and many other places. They're trying to provide Wi-Fi environments everywhere. So I would foresee that if they're going to provide Wi-Fi everywhere, they're going to need a lot more of these small miniature cell towers and on a lot of buildings. And it might be just like how in the past people watch cable TV, so you see these big satellite dishes on top of buildings. Mm-hmm. So I kind of see it kind of similar to that. Instead of a satellite dish, you have a miniature cell tower.
We may have even, I don't know, miniature cells that we attach to each of our apartments.
It's very possible. Yeah.
Individual cells.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's do this. Move into our final reading for this article.
Competitive investment. The improvements cost serious money. Comcast, for example, has invested billions in its internet and network infrastructure over several years, the company said. Atlanta-based Cox Communications has spent more than $24 billion to upgrade its internet and cable infrastructure in its markets since 1996. A consistently fast network may mean the difference between adding or losing customers. In the fiercely competitive telecommunications world, frustrated consumers who are unable to watch their favorite show, send large files, play games, or use applications because of a network problem can switch to another wireless or internet company. It's just really important for us from a brand and reliability standpoint that our customers have access to those data speeds, regardless of where they are at, said Lynn Carlson, Verizon's Network Executive Director for the Georgia-Alabama region.
All right, Bill Quinn here with Nathaniel Dunn and Rebecca Krusneski. We are on our final section of our technology article, No Rest for the Wireless, on pages 30 and 31 in your Advance magazine. And this section there in the right column of page 31, Competitive Investment. And what we finished with the last section was talking about some of the things the network companies can do as far as increasing the networks and enhancing the ability of their networks, such as building more wireless cell towers and or also these miniature small cells that are in cities. They are attached to light poles and buildings. So, again, this field will be evolving even more, and it's possible that, you know, that stuff, we may even end up with individual cells for our own apartments. So who knows? As far as it's, a lot of this stuff isn't on anybody's radar in the future. So it is a competitive investment. Why would these companies do that? Why would they do it, Rebecca?
Well, it boils down to one thing. You want to keep your customers because it's extremely competitive. Telecom industry is actually very competitive. As we saw here, it's talking referring to the U.S., but here we have at least four companies. We saw AT&T, Verizon, Comcast, and Cox. Mm-hmm. And in every market, you have more than one provider. So if you don't want to lose your customer, you better provide your customer what they want. And what customers want right now is speed.
Yeah. Yeah. They want speed. They want speed. They want, and they want it now. And is this cheap to do?
No, the first sentence in this section says the improvements cost serious money. Serious money would be a lot of money, I guess, an amount that would make you think very seriously before making the investment.
Yeah. Comcast, for example, has invested billions in its internet and network infrastructure over several years, the company said. Now, just to give you a little bit of a background on this, Comcast also really, going back even a couple of decades, really started out, their main business was providing cable service to home residences. So that's the suppliers in this field in internet services and providing these networks come from a variety of fields, AT&T from the telephone industry, likewise Verizon, whereas AT&T Mobility was in the mobile phone business. And then Comcast and Cox Communications were in television services. So they come from different industries originally, but they're spending a lot of money on this. And so we see what Atlanta-based Cox Communications has done also.
Yeah, this number is actually staggering. $24 billion. Remember, this is in U.S., $24 billion U.S., to upgrade its internet and cable infrastructure since 1996. That is a lot of money.
Yes, and it's got to come from somewhere. So, and that's why you have to pay the fees, whether it is for your mobile phone or the cable service in your home. So now, next sentence, we see that.
Yeah, a consistently fast network may mean the difference between adding or losing customers. I mean, if people are not satisfied with what you're providing with them, they are not afraid to drop you and go to someone else. And I actually have a friend who did that just recently, had kind of had the last straw with his provider and switched to another. Yep.
Dissatisfied?
Yeah, very dissatisfied. Actually, it was an ongoing saga on Facebook. He kept saying the most recent trouble that he'd had. Uh-huh. And the last I saw, he switched companies.
Well, this is what Rebecca had talked about a little bit earlier as far as it is fiercely competitive in the telecommunications world, right?
Yeah, it is fiercely competitive. And like we're focusing on here, one of the key elements right now is speed. And just like Nathaniel was saying, due to speed, you can switch providers. So if I want to keep my customer, remember, customer is always king, I better fulfill their requirements.
Yeah, and I think this second half of the paragraph talks about that friend of Nathaniel's, right? He was a frustrated consumer.
Yeah, frustrated consumers who are unable to watch their favorite show or send large files, play games, use applications. Because of the network problem, they can switch to another wireless or internet company very easily, really.
Oh, yeah. And they're constantly advertising, trying to get people to switch. Mm-hmm. So we're better than the other guys. So, and yeah, if you don't provide the latest technology and keep that speed up, which Rebecca was talking about, people will walk away and they will switch to the other companies. So now we hear from Lynn Carlson, Verizon's Network Executive Director for the Georgia-Alabama region. And she has a quote here in the last paragraph.
It's just really important for us from a brand and reliability standpoint that our customers have access to those data speeds, regardless of where they are at.
Hmm. All right. Now, what does she mean in this sentence, in this quote?
Well, I think it's important for these companies. They value the fact that they can get their product, their service out to more people. It's just important for a brand. To be reliable in that way.
And I like this last point, where they are at, right?
Yeah, what that really means is wherever you are, like, for example, I'm in the city or I go out into the countryside or even if I'm at the beach, I want to have access, you know, to the internet. I want to be able to go on social media. I want to be able to do it at a fast speed. If I choose to watch my favorite soap opera on the beach, I want to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And what that really means is that means a lot more cell towers everywhere.
Right. Yeah. Because we're talking mobile devices.
Yes.
We have moved beyond the desktop computer at home.
Yes.
Which is just one location. And we're talking mobile, which means people are mobile. They're everywhere. So they will expect this service everywhere, and which we will need more of these towers or the small cells or things like that, which does mean there will be more cost for everybody involved. Mm. Listeners, thanks for joining us here for No Rest for the Wireless. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill.
This is Nathaniel.
This is Rebecca.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.